So last week, it's one of the neatest stories. And you see, the disciples, you know, we were talking about how big Jesus is, this movement of his time at 3 years of ministry. Where can he go? He can go nowhere. He can't go to Jerusalem. He knows everyone hates him. He's got it. Everywhere he goes, there's 5,000 people chasing him. If he sails across the Sea of Galilee, what do? They run around to the other side because they know where he's heading, and there they are. And he goes north to Phoenicia, and they know it's a different country, and they know who he is, and they immediately surround him. He goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee on the east side, and there, a place called the Decapolis, the 10 cities. They know who he is there. They ask him to leave nicely. They say, could you leave? We really don't like you. He goes, I'll leave. But where can he go? There's nowhere he can go to get away. There's nowhere. He goes to the mountain to pray, and the people follow him. So he goes up north to that place called Caesarea Philippi. And you've heard it so many times, you're going to hear it again next year. You're going to never forget that place because it's where it all starts. It's where he can get away in the midst of all those other temples. And there's 14 temples to 14 different gods. And Jesus, this itinerant carpenter, is in the middle of it all. And he says, who am I? You got to make it this. Who do you think I am? Who does the world think I am? And who do you think I am? And Peter answers correctly, doesn't he? He says, you're the Christ. And Jesus says, you get it, don't you? And so they stay there. And then, but you see what happens as you turn the page. What happens next? Because he's on a journey now. He knows where can he go? He can go nowhere. So what he does, he needs some time away. He needs to get away from the people, so he goes north, about 40 miles. I got on Google today. If you want to know how to get from a place called Caesarea Philippi to Mount Hermon, which is in the mountains, it's 180 miles. But I'm like, that seems not correct. I'm looking, and it's like, as the crow flies, it's about 45 miles because it's a mountain. Sometimes there's not just a direct route up the mountain. So he goes from Caesarea Philippi north to a place called Mount Hermon, probably. It doesn't say in the Bible, but that's the mountain we think it is. It's in modern day Lebanon. It has a ski resort on top of it. Did you know you could go to the Middle East and go skiing? Did you know that? You can if you want. You know, you can go to the middle of Africa along the equator and see a glacier. Did you know that? Where is it? Where's the glacier in Africa? It's on top of what? Where is it, Jared? You know your geography. Mount Kilimanjaro, on top of it. How did it get there? How could all that ice and water get there? Huh. It's almost like there was a flood, and it froze, and it all drained away. Am I right? You guys hear about that, the flood, back in Genesis, right? It's almost as if it's true. Could be. We think so, don't we? We know. How could ice get in the middle of Africa? It's still there. Bible's not true, right? Crazy. So here he is. He goes up to the mountain, Mount Hermon, and he's got his disciples. You know, these disciples were less than 30 years old, and I'm going to be a little critical of them because they get tired. Jesus goes to pray, and what do the disciples do? They go to sleep, you know? And that's, I understand. You know, yesterday I worked in the yard 2.5 hours. Whew, that was it. I was done. I went home. I couldn't even cook dinner, Fran. I had to go out for dinner. We went out to Daddy-O's. You ever been there? That place is nice. It's pizza and subs, but then they'll make really good food, too. Besides, pizza and subs is nice, but you got to go there. And the waitresses are adorable. They're like 9 years old. I don't know how old they are, but they're younger than me. They are. So anyway, they're adorable, and go see them, and the food is great and everything. It's right there in, what's that town called? Kimballsville, right? The big city of Kimballsville. Great place. That's the plug of the day. I got my Daddy-O's advertisement in. So they go to the top of this mountain, and the disciples fall asleep, you know, and it's embarrassing, isn't it? They're only 30 years old, and my wife and I, we stayed up last night till almost 10. It was crazy. Who did I talk to about my favorites? Remember we were talking about Lyle Lovett? Lyle Lovett's coming to Reading this Friday, and he's bringing John Hiatt with him. I really like John Hiatt. I've got to see him once. They're there in Reading, 8 o'clock. You think I can make it, Fred? No, we're not. My favorite singer is coming close, and I can't do it. You know, if he came to my house and was singing on my porch like a Christmas carol, I might get up and go listen to him, you know. Getting too old to see things. That's why when we go to see Joshua, it's at 3 o'clock. Yeah, then dinner at 5, be home by 7, 7:30, right? That's living. Can't do it. But the disciples, they can't do it either. They're sleeping. So here what happens. Jesus goes up to the mountain. And what's he going for? He's going to pray, isn't he? Not many people are at the top of the mountain, are they? I haven't been on many mountaintops, but there's not a lot of people up there. We know that on Everest, there's over 40 dead bodies, right? And they were once motivated people. So don't be so, don't be so whatever it is. So he climbs up to the side of the mountain with a couple disciples and he's there and they're sleeping and he's praying because it's time. And what do they see when the disciples wake up? They see Jesus is not alone. He's talking to Moses and he's talking to Elijah, and they're there and they're like, "Whoa, now we got to wake up." And they see this conversation, and in Luke they overhear something. But let me set it up here. After 6 days, Jesus took him, Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and he led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. And if you would like, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Peter knows who Jesus is. He knows he's the Messiah, but he doesn't still quite get it. He's up on the side of the mountain, and what do you want to do? You want to commemorate the experience. Let's build something, a shelter. Let's build something permanent, right? Because maybe he doesn't want to leave it, right? It's the neat place to be. It's on top of the mountain with Jesus. In the presence of God, his voice is booming, all echoing through the hills. And he sees those prophets. He sees the prophet Elijah. And he sees Moses, the giver of the law. It's a neat place to be. And Jesus is different. We saw when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. He came down and he was radiant, right? And he shined and he had a glow to him. Because he was in the presence of God. And there they are. They're in the presence of God. And some people say, well, maybe it was chosen. Moses and Elijah, of all people, were chosen because they went up to Mount Sinai too. We know that Moses went up there to get the law and that Elijah went there to get away from people. He went to get away from Jezebel, right? Because she threatened to kill him. So he ran and he hid. And he went to the top of Mount Sinai and God spoke to him. Not through the thunder, right? Not through an earthquake. But how did he speak to him? Through a small voice, right? He said, "Elijah, what are you doing here? Get back to work." We know that Elijah, he never died. He was taken away in a chariot of fire up into the heavens. And Moses, his body was never found. It was buried somewhere by God. And so we have these two people who were maybe too great to die. For whatever reason, it's Moses and it's Elijah and it's Jesus. And they're talking to him. Luke says they were talking about his departure. And the Greek word here, we like to do this, don't we? Get a little Bible nerdy. The Greek word for departure is exodus. Your exodus is coming, Jesus. They're talking to him about that. They know. They knew him in heaven, right? They've been hanging out in heaven all those years, Moses and Elijah. And then they knew Jesus and about the day he left to be born of a woman. Now they get to see him again. They say, "You know, you get to come back to us. You're going to leave this planet. You're going to leave this earth. You're going to be crucified." And I come, you know, think about that conversation. And this isn't in the Bible, but I think it's like, way to go. You're doing great. You're almost there. And you got a little further to go, but you're going to make it, Jesus. It was like an encouragement thing. It was a pep rally for Jesus with these holy heavenly figures in this beautiful place. Are you excited so far? Do you love this story? Here he is. Jesus, you're almost there. The people don't understand. Disciples don't understand you have to die, but we understand what you're going to do. Get ready to go do it. The disciples heard this call from heaven. They fell face down to the ground. And Jesus came and touched them. And as we always say when we're in the presence of the holy, he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, Joseph. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Don't be afraid." They looked up and it was just them and Jesus. As they're coming down the mountain, Jesus said to them, "Don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him and said, "Then why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" They remember Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, there, chapter 4. I'm going to send Elijah first. And Jesus says, to be sure, Elijah comes and he will restore all things. But I tell you, he's already been here. And you didn't recognize him, but have done everything to him, everything they wished, which means they killed him. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. The disciples understood that he was then talking about John the Baptist, who King Herod had his head, of course, taken off. They're in the place they want to be. They're in the presence of God at the top of a beautiful mountain with snow caps and everything. What a view! But you can't stay there too long. They have to come down. And here's the second part of the story, which we talked about at Bible study, 10 o'clock Fridays at the Harlan House. Be there. Take off work if you have to. I'll give you a note, right? All right, Jared, I'll give you. You can go down to McCrone's. Say, Pastor Sean said I could have off. Try it. And come, and here we fellowship, and we get sometimes even 3 or 4 verses done in an hour if we're in a hurry. We take our time. They come down the mountain, and there's a crowd there. They followed him. They followed him up Mount Hermon, and they're waiting there at the bottom of that big mountain there. And they said, Lord, the crowd comes, and a man kneels before Jesus, and he says, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures, and he's suffering greatly, and he often falls into the fire or to the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And here's what Jesus said. Let me tell you. Let me take my time with this one, all right? Yeah, we like to go to Rehoboth, my wife and I, and it's but you're supposed to go to church when you're on vacation, right, people? We really don't either. But we do when we go to Rehoboth, and we stop by that church there, over there on, what's it called? Off of Route 1, the big one, towards the ocean side. Big Methodist church, when they used to let me in. Anyway, we go there because I know the pastor. Her name is Vicky Gordy Stith, and she has a husband. He's a nice guy, but she is fantastic. So if you got time, you stop in there and see. And they're very progressive. They're liberal. I'll say no more. But that's where we go because we're with God's people. So we go there, and she wasn't there that week. We were disappointed because she sings the Holy Communion. Oh my goodness! You know I say it, but she sings it. Oh jeez. She is magnificent. So she wasn't there that week. They were on vacation. And so they had the lay people were up there. And so they're at this. This is the lection for the week. And so she's reading it, and it's also on the big board. And it broke my heart because she changed the words. It's up on the big screen. Verse 17. You unbelieving and you perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. She changed the word perverse. It's clearly on the screen. What does the word mean? It means corrupted. It means twisted. We can't change the words because we don't think they fit our lifestyle. It says what it says. We can't change it. Because it says it in the Song of Moses. He is the rock. His works are perfect and his ways are just. Deuteronomy 32. A faithful God who does no wrong. He's upright and he's just. And they are corrupt and not his children. To the shame they are warped in a crooked generation. And God said, Moses says, is this how you repay the Lord, you foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father, your creator who made and formed you? Numbers 14, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. Matthew 23, Jesus is sitting there in the Mount of Olives. He's looking down across the Kidron Valley at the beautiful city of Jerusalem and the beautiful temple. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and you stone those who sent you. Often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing because you were corrupt He calls us all out. He's calling all. We are all corrupt. We are all twisted. We've all turned away. The word says what it says. It condemns all of us, but also gives us all hope. It also gives us eternal life because of what Jesus did. So Jesus rebukes the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Later on, the crowd is dispersed, and the disciples are alone. They come to him, and they say, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we drive it out? You've given us this power before. You sent us out to heal, and we've done it. And here we are. We're at the top of this mountain. We can't heal this one boy. Why can't we do it? And Jesus says, because you have no faith. I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move this mountain right behind us. You can move all the troubles of this world. Move it from here to move it to there. Nothing will be impossible for you. Mark chapter 9 says, after Jesus has gone indoors, his disciples asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Mark has a slightly different answer. He says, this kind can only come out by prayer. Did they pray? Jesus goes up to the top of the mountain. He's praying, and here comes Moses, Elijah, and the voice of God. And what are the disciples doing? They're taking a nap. I can do nothing for you. I can't save you. I can't heal you. The disciples couldn't heal. They couldn't save. What do we need? We don't need a man. We need him, don't we? We need Jesus. He comes down from the mountain and he heals. And the man was waiting. These men could not heal his son, but he's waiting for Jesus. He's not going anywhere. This boy, he's having seizures. He's epileptic and he's throwing himself into the fire. He's trying to drown himself. He's not. He doesn't have any control. It's called moonstruck. You know, they believe that he's a lunatic. But Jesus, they call on Jesus, and he comes, and he heals him. And he says, how long, much longer will I be here? Don't you get what I came to do? Don't you see it? I told you, I'm going to tell you this the second time. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. Then I'm going to tell you a third time what's going to happen. And they don't want it to happen. How long is he going to be here? We know he's going to be with us forever, isn't he? We're going to be with him forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we hear your words. I pray your presence is felt by everyone here. We look to man to solve our problems, but we have no power here. Only you have the power. The power that God has given you to be our salvation, to be our ransom, to pay for all of our debts, to pay for all of our sins, because we are guilty and we are perverse and we are corrupt. But you show the compassion that we don't deserve. You took the penalty for our sin. You gave yourself up for us. You hung on the cross with two thieves. And you say, today, if you believe in me today, you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me in that green, lush garden once again. The garden you were banned from, the garden you were welcomed back to, if only you trust in me. Trust in him. Don't trust in men. Trust in Jesus, who is Lord. Amen to that? Amen.